Hi, morning, Jonathan Brown, curator for the estate of Simon Bernstein. We're here on two motions today. The first of which I could throw out. This is a motion for authorization to complete and execute the IRS Form 5. And that's the form that essentially allows the estate and revocable trust to both file on the date of the 1041. This is something that's been recommended by CBIZ, who is the decedent's accountant and has been the accountant for the estate and trust.
Does anyone object to this?
I don't want to put words in Elliot Bernstein's mouth, but I think that his main objection to it is that he feels that by agreeing to it that could somehow be boxed in with regard to any claims he might have as to the actual validity of the last trust instrument or the validity of his brother Ted Bernstein serving as the trustee of that trust. What I think we probably could do, and this is all I need, is authorization so the IRS knows that I have authorization, is granted without prejudice to the rights of any interested person to challenge the trust or the trusteeship.
How about that language?
Sounds fair.
Okay. That's the easy one. All right, you'll write that in.
I already did.
You folks agree?
Eureka moment sitting there listening to it.
I do agree. I think it's a thing that could have worked out before coming to court.
I got it. Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Who are you representing it there? No one.
I just did two data points. I just did one pop and I'll distribute my The second motion, Your Honor, is really kind of it goes in several directions. We have a case pending in Illinois that involves life insurance proceeds on the deceased. It's kind of a lengthy motion.
Is this something I can do on UMC?
I believe you can.
All right. Okay.
Or at least I can believe you. I believe you can consider what the issue is, because it's been expressed to me that there is some urgency involved with this Illinois federal action that is pending for the purpose of determining who gets $1.7 million worth of proceeds from life insurance on the deceased. Certain members of the family contend that, and the main estate creditor represented by Mr. Royer, contend that those proceeds should go to the estate. Certain other members of the family believe that there was an irrevocable life insurance trust in place that nobody can find a copy of, but that I presume that they can prove up that trust and that then the proceeds go to the trust, and there are different beneficiaries of the trust and different generation benefits from the trust that might benefit from the estate. The children of the decedent benefit under the ILIT. The grandchildren of the decedent would benefit because the estate pours over into a revocable trust that then goes to the grandchildren. So Ms. Elliot Bernstein sent me an email saying, hey, things are happening in Illinois. Somebody needs to get up there and appear for the estate. So I filed this motion, which attaches, by the way, the March 14th, 2014 motion by Mr. Stansbury to be appointed administrator ad litem. I believe on his own dime, until he creates something of benefit for the estate, to go ahead and appear in the Illinois court. That motion is set for May 23rd. As soon as I filed that motion, I got an email from David Simon, who is was married to one of the decedent's daughters, and he said, I promised to him that if we had any motion involving this at all, that I would give you a copy of his email. And basically, he demanded that I vehemently oppose the appointment of the administrator ad litem, but I'll fight the
pressure. Which we're not hearing today.
I do believe that Mr. Royer.
Right, so what's the instructions, though, that you're seeking concerning, it says concerning the entitlement to life insurance, but you really mean concerning the lawsuit in Illinois?
That's correct, Your Honor. That is something that I did this to try to get it out quickly. I originally, when I first heard about the lawsuit in Illinois, thought, why can't Judge Colin just determine the entitlement to the life insurance proceeds? And then I found out, after I've seen the docket, which is very thick, that the Illinois case has been going on for quite some time, and they've made they're more, it's more advanced, and it just happened to end up in Illinois.
So let me ask you, will the issues that you spoke about, is that, are those the issues that the Illinois court's going to determine?
I believe so, Your Honor. I have not.
Whether it goes to the estate or into the trust?
No, there's nobody representing the estate or the estate
on the trust. Asking, so who's the plaintiff in that?
A missing trust, a lost trust. That's never been.
Irrevocable trust.
That's never been found or.
So who's representing that, the plaintiff?
At Illinois law firm.
Adam Simon.
Alan Rose, Your Honor, I think that started as an interpleader. Now there's an action. This is all set for May 23rd. And because Elliot Bernstein received something in the mail, an affidavit that's never been filed in the court, I don't believe. He emailed or he notified Mr. Brown that there's a crisis or an urgency. So we're here today, and we're coming in 16 days to have this issue heard.
And the issue is what issue?
The issue is whether you should appoint an administrator ad litem to represent the estate in that proceeding. Mr. Bernstein.
But my question is, so I get a little bit, the plaintiff, it says here, is Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust. June 21, 1995, versus the life insurance company. That's the case style, correct?
Correct.
Right, so who is representing the plaintiff?
Plaintiff is, the counsel for the plaintiff is David Simon, I believe.
Adam Simon. Correct. And, Your Honor, can I just clarify?
He's an Illinois lawyer?
Right. Yeah.
Can I clarify? And he's also married, his brother's married to my sister. Can I ask who Mr. Rose is representing? I've asked him, but.
He's okay.
He can just represent anybody?
Well, but you can ask him privately, but not.
I did. He won't answer.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Let me get to where I'm going to be now. Okay, so Mr. Simon is representing the Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust and brought that lawsuit, and the insurance company is defending, and there's hearings going on up there on that.
I think they've interpled the funds. And there's a lawsuit being brought. Mr. Elliot Bernstein is party to the case. Mr. Stansberry attempted to intervene in the case, and the judge denied the intervention. So now they're coming back for with they have a pending motion that's going to be heard on May 23rd. The estate is not involved in the lawsuit. I think the testimony at the hearing will be that the estate's prior personal representatives determined it was not an efficient use of state resources to intervene in the lawsuit. And you'll hear that on May 23rd. I don't think there's anything happening in the next 16 days that's of any urgency other than the kind of the repeated conduct where Mr. Brown gets.
But is the only party now who has sought the funds is the trust?
I'm not in that lawsuit.
What was that question?
The estate is not a party to that lawsuit.
The only party currently seeking the funds that have been interpled is the trust.
And that is missing. They have not been able to give that to the federal court yet.
But Elliot, that's not the question. That's not the question.
I believe Mr. Bernstein is in the case, and he is advocating that the money should not go to the trust, it should go to the estate.
There is no trust.
Can I approach and just show you the latest docket? This is the way apparently they're doing it.
Some federal courts, and I didn't realize they were doing it down here. So this is the latest docket entry.
And Your Honor,
by the judge.
Just look at something.
And I think that reflects whoever is involved in the case up there, that reflects
so
the
now
dates.
This, the way this case is styled, it's no longer trust versus insurance company, it's trust versus Elliot. So
that's what happens.
Elliot has been, you're now a.
I don't know how that happened. That's the first I've seen that.
This is issued by the court, though.
That I'm going to contact, that's the first that's ever changed like that. I'm a third party. Defendant, that I was called into this case by the insurance company because they rejected a fraudulent claim filed by Tesher and Spolina.
The insurance company interpleads the money. They just say, here's the money. We're not involved in who gets it.
But that's what they're saying. But now there's two parts to this. A claim was filed with the insurance company by Robert Spolina, who's now admitted to the sheriff's department that he changed documents to alter beneficiaries. Now, he also filed an insurance claim as trustee of a lost trust that we have evidence that he admits that he's never seen this trust, can't find it, nobody has a copy, couldn't plead it to the court. But he filed a claim as the trustee of that. He also defrauded the insurance company by representing that he was the trustee of the primary beneficiary of the policy, LaSalle National Trust Company. LaSalle National Trust Company is the beneficiary of that policy, according to the insurance carrier today. The lost trust would only be a contingent beneficiary.
Okay, but that's what the lawsuit's about.
Well, that's no, the lawsuit's about a breach of contract. See, and what happened was the claim was rejected by the carrier, not because of me or anything else, but because they couldn't put a trust on.
If the money is paid in, then the clerk of the court's going to disperse that money to someone because the insurance company says, you know, we agree someone's entitled to those proceeds. It sounds like this lawsuit will determine who gets the proceeds.
But nobody's representing the estate, who should, because in Florida law, if there's no beneficiary at the time of death, the money goes to the estate. There is no beneficiary because the lost trust is lost and the document can't be found and everybody's said that.
Simon is not here to tell me that he still doesn't want to go forward in behalf of the Simon Bernstein Irrevocable Trust.
It doesn't exist, the trust.
Well, that's you, that you're telling me.
No,
that.
They've told the court that. They are unable to produce to Judge St. Eve up to this date. Is that correct, Mr. Brown? Do you have a copy of the trust from anybody?
I have not seen a copy of the trust. It's my understanding that nobody can find a copy of the actual trust instrument.
Well, that may be something that ultimately has a bearing on what happens in the case. But right now, there's a plaintiff. The only plaintiff is the trust. They're the only ones, and you're the defendant.
Well, that I'm going to...
I've got the docket here. It really requires a flowchart, but okay. Mr. Bernstein does have a third party.
All right, so you have a third party
cross
claim. So it's the trust and you right now seeking that money.
Okay.
Okay, that's what it looks like. So
It should be the beneficiaries of this estate should also be represented because
right, so
they have a right.
Now we go back to the motion. You want Mr. Brown as curator to intervene in the lawsuit on behalf of the estate?
Appoint Mr. Stansberry.
The issue, Your Honor, I think trying to crystallize it, okay. is you asked what I'm asking for instructions on. For me to ramp up and get an Illinois counsel and just intervene or try to intervene in that litigation would be expensive to the estate.
Okay.
Mr. Stansberry has asked to be appointed administrator ad litem and has said he will do it on his own dime, unless he creates a benefit for the estate, and then he'll come back under 733.106, I think is the right site, and try to have his fees paid. I've been told by both Mr. Bernstein and I believe Mr. Royer that, hey, we've got some deadlines coming up. The 23rd might not be good enough. So the instructions I'm asking for is, do I need to represent to the court that the administrative ad litem motion is actually an emergency? And do we need to have that hearing within these 16 days?
Who opposes Mr. Stansberry appearing so that the estate can be involved in the Illinois litigation?
David Simon, who is married to Elliot's sister.
He's not even a party to this.
And his children, he is
if I get permission, all that means is for purposes of the Simon Bernstein estate here, I would be allowing Mr. Stansberry to go to Illinois and appear, but I can't, you know, they'll fight it out up there about whether they'll let him appear and all those things. But at least, it's me saying it's okay for you to go up there.
That's right.
May I say that's, and we had this said, we said it for an evidentiary hearing. The other people, I don't know what other beneficiaries intend to object. I do know that Pam Simon intends to object to that. We have an evidentiary hearing set. There's other issues.
She's not a beneficiary of this estate, no matter how you slice it.
I represent Mr. Stansberry, who's kind of in the center of all this. I want to bring the court's attention to the docket entry. A couple of things got our attention and our concerns. Number one is apparently there was a status conference on 422 that's been continued to 610. It is our belief that the case is going to be set for trial at that time. Secondly, all dispositive motions have to be filed by 714. So, my point being is the window is closing for the opportunity for the estate to intervene in this case because of these deadlines that the court has set. We realize that we have a motion that's set to be heard on the 23rd, but time is now becoming the essence. Actually, I came today to ask the court whether it would consider appointing Mr. Stansberry today as administrative litem so he could initiate the process of intervening finally the motion intervene, having the court rule on it, so that the evolving of the state can be significantly meaningful when these deadlines are reached. While I concur with Mr. Brown's statement in his memorandum that we don't think any meaningful interested parties really have been standing yet, the siblings of Ted Bernstein and his siblings are actually aligned with the plaintiffs, the irrevocable trust in that case, meaning they've taken a position that the life insurance proceeds are not payable to the estate. So certainly their interests are not the best interest to the estate of Simon Bernstein. Really, the only one that is acting in that interest is Elliot Bernstein and certainly Mr. Stansbury, who is a creditor and certainly has a lot to gain if the estate is eligible to do the grandchildren.
Right now, though, up in Illinois, the trust, if it exists, has a voice.
That's correct.
Okay, and so the question is whether
the estate has a counter voice.
Can have
that.
A voice because
that's
someone's going to get the proceeds, and one of the issues may be if the judge only has the trust as the only entity seeking it, and they have to then determine does the trust exist, then you have all those issues.
That's correct.
So there's some reason why I wouldn't allow the estate to, you know, from this estate point of view here, my case, allow Mr. Stansbury to take a shot and go up there. The Illinois judge will have
to. And the other thing, Your Honor, is that I believe that we are organizing or setting a hearing in June to have the successor personal representative of this estate appointed. So at that point, to the extent that there's a successor PR appointed, they can then determine the future course of that litigation.
Was everybody noticed with today's motion, Mr. Brown?
All right, actually, I have to look at the certificate first. Just to correct one thing, Mr. Ward said, I don't think I said in my amended motion, I don't think any interested party. That I can't think of an interested party who might have standing to object to the administrator ad litem's appointment. I think anybody has standing to object to it. It's a situation where you have this pour over trust, and the pour over trust benefits the grandchildren, and the alleged islet benefits their parents. So it's, you know, there's some built-in conflicts there for, I think, any personal representative or curator or anyone else, actually. So I think that militates in favor of an administrator ad litem, but I do want to make clear that I did promise to David Simon and his family that I would give you that email and tell them that they were very opposed to the administrator ad litem motion and wanted me to oppose it. And I'm not taking a position.
Let me read this letter.
Can we get a copy of that?
Yeah. Hold on. Sorry.
The problem is over David's objection. I'm not sure I can do that this morning. So tell me what's the concern if I hear this and rule on it on the 23rd. It looks like you have a status hearing on the 10th. That should give enough time to take, if I give an order allowing the appointment of the administrator of life, enough time to intervene and appear by the 10th. Okay, let's do this on the 23rd. because I'm concerned if we don't do it, it's, you know, I'm going to have some procedural objection that due process is violated. So, I mean, you know, they say here in the letter to you, Mr. Brown, that they're going to hire a local lawyer, and let's see if that happens.
Okay.
But let's do that then. Okay, so let's re-raise this then.
All right, so we don't need an order on this, Your Honor. We have a court of order.
Your Honor, there was one more thing for today on the docket that I saw for the final accounting and motion, renewed petition for discharge.
No one's brought that up.
Well, that, well, yeah.
Can I bring it up?
I'll describe real quickly what happened, Your Honor. Tesher and Spallina missed the deadline for providing the final accounting and then made a motion to extend the time to file the final accounting. I noticed it for hearing, and Mr. Bernstein sent me an email pointing out that under the probate rule, that contempt proceedings could be
shelving.
I'm not sure if it's mandatory or not. I'd have to look at the rule. Frankly, Mr. Bernstein pointed out a probate rule that I hadn't studied before. In the meantime, Tesher and Spallina have filed their final accounting. So motion for extension of time. I think that Mr. Bernstein's position is that this
final accounting isn't valid.
Well, it may not be, but it doesn't. You can still object to it. The only thing that I was going to hear today was a motion for extension of time, which is mooted because once they file something, you don't even extend time to file it.
What if they filed it without proper signatures?
Doesn't matter.
Object to
it.
Without.
All I would do is, yeah, okay. Okay. You can still object.
Okay. Okay, I got that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I represent Ted Bernstein. He's successor trustee at the Simon Bernstein Trust. I told you that in the last year.
Really?
And I don't think
he's got any notice of his trusteeship.
Okay, I'll send you the paper.
He's just got a bunch of fraudulent documents, more documents that are secret or insecure. I don't know if you're privy to them. But
okay,
wills and trusts that are going to question all that. So
okay.
The same. You'll be going in. Rothstein's group.
One second. If there's something you need, send me an email. You shouldn't call me out in front of the.
To get referred into this case. And have you dealt with Tesher and Spallina? Are you part of the building? Because I'm telling you, I run like the rest of them.
I'm not.
Okay. I advise you. Some good friends of mine.
To me, the estate is an indispensable party.
Yeah, it's almost unbelievable.
We can file.
Why don't we? Except me.
We got a
Says there's no contract. So nobody's put forth a valid, legitimate insurance contract, yet we're in a breach of contract lawsuit. Ever heard of that? Okay, so there's no defending contract.
Is the insurance company lawyer advocating that?
Or is it just throwing out the
court to
the insurance company? And there's no contract to show that that's the right amount of money that was even tendered. There's no contract, so they threw in a sample policy. I said in court the other day to the project, but, well, is it a sample death benefit we're using? Don't we need a contract to show it in the number of here's the reason for this contract. Nobody has a contract.
Jeff, I'm coming.
Yes, always a pleasure. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, did you get a copy of
that? No. Yeah, I don't know why you held that until court. Right. Yeah. And how are you still playing with Alan Rose here?
You hadn't asked for it.
A little bottom, but in the bathroom, Aaron Rose, and walk out with Aaron Rose. What kind of Rose doesn't like me on the representative? It's an easy question. Who are you representing?
By the way, your question is, to answer your question, I don't have any MISO agreement.
That
I know of. You know, I wasn't looking out for one, but I have Linda, she's indexing the boxes, and if she finds one, I'll send it over.
That document, do you have the originals of anything?
Nope.
Nothing.
I don't know where they are. They probably are in Tesh and Spring's will file.
But they say in their thing they've released all documents to you. At this time,
I have the original. All I have is
you should object to that language. I mean, don't you have to sign off on everything they're giving you at some point?
No.
You don't have to sign off on
that? No, I mean, the way it goes with these accountings is that the interested persons.
Right.
Like you said, you just file a written objection. Every right. single thing you think is wrong with that accounting,
okay.
You write down and you file.
Okay.
And that's how you do it.
Okay.
You know,
the estate can't object to it?
I mean, you have more knowledge about it than I do, frankly, but I mean, I could object to it.
But it would help him probably see it if you...
The judge doesn't really want me running around. I mean, doesn't want me... You know, I know you think my role is different. You are going to have to do some of this stuff on your own because the judge doesn't want me spending $50,000.
Because he said that? Because the minute he says that, I'm going to sanction him. Because right now, all these costs, we've already had where he said those costs are going to be borne by the people who caused this.
Right, but it's just a question of who is going to be the person who's going to try to get them to bear the cost.
And that really, the way it works when you have a curator, it falls on the beneficiaries to do that.
So I think he's saying you should do it, and he'll agree to if you're right, and he goes, okay, yeah, this should be, but you do all the legwork and objecting to each part of what it is and why.
He adjudicates it. I mean, you know, from what I, once you get the copiary removed, I mean, you know, I don't know, you know, the accounting shows what they did with the money. And, you know, I know you're going to object to their fees. I know you're going to object to them lending money.
Well, they said the estate was worth $125,000 all the way until they amended it. Well, and up to that point, yeah, no, they claimed the first
thing. Well, the IRA ended up in it.
And then, okay, and then my house and all kinds of other fun things. But up to the point that they amended it, prior to saying it was worth $1,125,000, they billed $165,000 of legal fee to an estate they were claiming was worth $125,000.
The way you deal with their fees is by objecting to their account.
Yeah. Did you get the backup on all those?
I have not gotten the backup on me.
Okay. All right. So we'll replace that too.
Yeah. I mean, just.
Billing statements for their fees and costs.
Are you getting copies of something over? Are you getting copies of something?
No.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
What are we looking at? The will and the signed term. Do you know how, can we just go up to the clerk and ask to see the original wills?
Don't they have to file an original will and then
okay. So how do we see it? Just go in there?
Well, you have a case number, but the clerk. There'll be computers, security, and then you can go and make a right turn up, you go down that hall, and then the next door to the right will be like self-help services.
Right.
Then you go in and there'll be a room with computers in. You can bring it up and find it. What document you print it, you print it, and then you have to go across the hall.
That's it.
All the way across.
Yep.
And then you pick up the copies over there.
No, but I want to see the original.
The actual original, you'll have to ask them how to do that. This is the process of getting the copy.
Okay.
You actually pull a paper file.
Yeah. Because now I think there might be a problem.
Used to be able to do it all the time, but now they're computerized and sizes. But yeah, there okay. All so, right. Do we need to say anything? I think we're good for now. Let's see where we're going from here. We'll talk to you.
Thanks,
Jeff. See you later.
We have that already. We have that something. I'm not certified copy.
No, I want to take the blue. And that's what we decided. See that. All right. I want to see the original bill of Sherwood. Enough monkey business going on here. And that will just smells now. Oh, Shirley picked that while she hated him on the floor. Couldn't stomach it.
But that's the only way. That's, at least you admitted there's a conflict
of interest. Want to go in with us? Yeah.
Hi, darling.
I'm really coming to the house to do a little bit of work. Unless you need me to be there.
No, I don't. I'll send it to him.
All right. Good to see you.
So what did, they did decide to hold off on this till the 23rd to a hearing on it?
Right.
Okay. I wonder what they're, now David Simon is in. Cannot make it up.
Oh, they're really, on behalf of the children, the beneficiaries?
If you're the defendant, you're the defendant.
Right. How are they waiving their kids' rights they're claiming the benefit?
He's saying.
Think about this. He's writing.
The
that
beneficiaries
my kids are waiving their
beneficiaries
rights.
Beneficiaries
of the estate
are objecting to me.
Right.
Objecting to them.
Right.
So that their parents get it.
And their parents are saying all that. And it doesn't matter because you still got other beneficiaries, my kids, who are saying no. And now the question is, who are the beneficiaries? Me, Lisa, and Jill, or my kids? So that whole issue he didn't bring up either today, even though he motioned it up there to discuss the will. A little surprised by that because I had all three documents ready to say, Your Honor, this whole thing's
Mr. Brown, we demand that you cease and desist all communication with Mrs. Stansberry except through counsel or as required by court proceedings.
Yeah.
He said no communication.
Yeah.
You're wasting your statement.
I didn't even know who I was. Right. I've never spoken to the man.
Right, you are wasting estate money and unnecessarily compromising the estate's ability to aggressively litigate the Stansberry case.
Oh, boy. Wait till they hear that the EPA is going to be. Oh.
You should ask Ben to send you every correspondence he's gotten from everybody he has to give to.
Yeah, it's not frivolous.
Right. Okay. So I want all my emails. Ted has sent you. Alan has sent you.
Okay, so type that up.
David Simons, and now there's things happening that we don't know about.
How's our honey?
She's so sweet.
There's no improvement for 7 months, she said?
Weeks.
No, 7 months.
Oh, she won't expect
therapy
to get
for 7 months, right?
A range of motion back until probably the end of the year.
No broken arm.
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
Did she show you the scar?
Oh.
And the ironic thing is, she says she had her running shoes on, she was ready to go running. So it wasn't even like, oh,
totally
I got up in the middle of the night
and
slipped. She was all...
It's not like an older woman who was frail and whatever. She's physically fit.
Of course, yeah.
And that is a massive 6 fractures or 7.
She had multiple fractures of the humerus.
Yeah.
The bicep was torn, a couple of tendons.
We saw the pictures of your grandchildren.
Your buff children.
Were there any pictures of my grandchildren and my wife's office?
Wait, first of all, are you sure those are your kids?
So I see the one with that.
The one kid
the
who's
big
this tall,
I'm like, well,
that's
see the firefighter.
Supermodel looking
kid. So no, that's the attorney. The
you
biggest
one,
I thought, oh, he's the firefighter. No, that's the...
Hope they don't do DNA testing on that. Okay, because you were out. That's all I get.
And look, my...
They're amazing.
You saw the three kids.
Yeah.
The daughter is tougher than the two boys combined.
Oh, yeah.
Not only in physical.
Well, that you might have.
She's done Ironman. She's completed an Ironman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a 2.5-mile swim,
110-mile
bike ride, and a 26-mile run.
Yeah. That's serious stuff.
That's
she's
serious training. Yeah, you just
they all are buff. Even the one who's not. I thought the other one was a fighter. The one with the shirt off, he looks like, you know, a superhero.
He's like, how tall? Over 6 feet.
About 6'2".
And that comes from OG, 7 foot father or something?
Father and grandfather were big. My father was tall. My brother is 6 feet.
She's talking sevens.
For her grandfather.
Yeah. I'm like, seven.
Her dad's dad.
Oh, what?
Oklahoma farmer.
Yeah.
He was sucking down too much fertilizer.
So then the boys go, Josh met one of the football players who had heritage.
Oh my goodness.
Is up to the ceiling here. Did you ever see this kid?
There's a lot of big ones there.
Oh my God. Joshua, I am not playing football. I'm like, oh yeah, you are. I want to see those guys tossing you around like a rag doll. He's like, I'll be killed, Dad. He's like, I'm like, oh, you're scared of a few big guys? I can imagine the monsters
on their team. They're taking care of it.
Well,
right, I said,
well, the other team has those guys too, obviously. He's playing in the Ivy League. Whatever you call that.
We play small little Christian schools.
Yeah.
Pope and Pinecrest.
Right.
Yeah. I don't even think we play that.
Our biggest guy, Tim Andrews, would be Jake Vargas, who you met, even though he's a big kid, would have been crushed.
Yeah.
By that.
Okay.
And I can't imagine how Michigan, one of them for football.
Two years ago.
Playing lacrosse, Duke once.
Not last year's football team, but the year before, the running back of that team is the starting running back for Notre Dame this year.
Oh,
the offensive lineman for that team is the starting offensive guard for the University of Florida this year. He's like 6'6", 320.
Oh.
Mostly muscle.
Well, this guy yesterday was like 6'6". Huge. There's three of them at the school. Do you know who they are?
Three brothers.
Giant. Just giant.
And then
they're like, oh, they're
sweet sugar.
Yeah. He's like, oh, that's one of the
students. They look like
that's
a
student. Are you kidding? It's like a grown man.
He's got good talent. Yeah.
Somebody recruited some beasts.
I'm not allowed to recruit.
What would I ever have? I'm not
somebody
into
encouraged
politics.
Them to consider the environment. And
right. We met the goalie for the lacrosse team. Great kid.
Did you see your buddy?
No. Which might have been...
Good.
No, yeah, it might have crossed certain lines right there. I mean, I don't know about all this recruiting stuff you're allowed to do. But I know we didn't see us, or we didn't see Vargas when he went on a tour. Didn't Vargas went on a tour over football?
Jeff's been busy trying to get people to come over here, so.
And a lot of parents are.
Which he's probably not supposed
dumb.
To be doing, right? He's probably not supposed to be making.
Well, he's not really making
those
calls.
Well, he's not calling us.
Right.
That's
other
the,
people.
He's calling everybody
us.
We know.
Lounsbury, all these other people have contacted us.
Right.
But,
so
you know.
But what a beautiful improvement they've made over there. I can't believe it. I was there 5 years ago. Looked nothing like that.
Did you see the library? What they did.
Met the computer girl.
Oh, the
did
library,
all that.
The little reading room for the kids.
So
yeah.
Cute.
Yep.
And so he kept saying, oh, the little kids like this. While my guys are going, I'm like, I think the big guys like this too. You know, they might not want to admit it. But Jake wants to go climb in that shell and read. I know it.
It's a nice environment. Anyway, I got to meet somebody. I didn't think this was going to take nearly this long. So good luck with seeing you, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Yeah.